welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And this is such a powerful passage of Scripture as the Apostle Paul is explaining to the Christians just how we live for God in such a wonderful, practical way. But he touches on something that is so important because, you know, we've been talking recently, ministering along the lines of just kind of, you know, just examining yourself, seeing if you're in the faith, just making sure that you're continuing to walk with the Lord in some meaningful, intentional way. And as we're looking at this passage of Scripture, it really goes hand in hand with it in many different ways. But Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So now, the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joining in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. With the arrival of Jesus, this is the message, the Messiah, that with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying, black cloud. This verse, of course, is connecting some powerful truths as you read Romans 7 and through Romans 8. But in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul is kind of struggling. He's going, man, I want to do right. I want to do the right thing. But as soon as I decide to do the right thing, evil is present with me, and I trip up immediately. It is so frustrating. I want to, you know, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but there's another law that's just warring against me. It's instinctively present. And I get tripped up, and it's frustrating. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And he says, well, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so we kind of come to these conclusions. We realize we need to go forward in Christ. We need his life. We need his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. But he says something here. He says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, let me just put it this way. This is what he doesn't say. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who are fully sanctified, who have completely conquered victory over all the flesh. There's no condemnation for those whose flesh is completely dead and are no longer even tempted by sin anymore. That person doesn't exist. That person, it didn't exist in Jesus, who was tempted in every point as we are. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, he's saying something really important, powerful here. The pivot of whether there's condemnation or no condemnation is not based on some spectrum of victory you've accomplished in Christ by the Spirit. It's not that. The Apostle Paul, I mean, at the end of his life, toward the end of his life in those prison epistles, he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I'm still growing. I'm still forgetting those things that are behind. I'm still reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So on the spectrum of the spiritual growth chart, condemnation is not what determines whether I'm free or not. In other words, it's not like you're a baby Christian, you're a mature Christian, and right about here there's the no condemnation mark. And when you're really living for God and you get to check that box, then, oh man, now I get to coast out and no more condemnation. So no condemnation does not represent a point along the spiritual growth chart. Praise God. No condemnation pivots on one thing, your decision to walk after the Spirit. In other words, you could be, if let's say this direction is the direction of the flesh, I'm walking after the flesh, okay? The moment I make a decision to turn around and walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. It's the decision to walk. It's the decision to go in the direction of God. As long as I'm going in this direction, there's condemnation. When I'm walking in this direction, there's no condemnation. And my spiritual growth chart has nothing to do with it. It's simply the direction of my heart. It's a spiritual intentionality. You know, we've been talking about, again, the last few weeks, just about reconstructing faith, just being intentional about faith. And we saw there was kind of four areas. There's going to be times you got to flee stuff. You just got to run away from things. And then you got to pursue things. In other words, you're running away from things, but as you're running away, you're also pursuing other things. You're pursuing righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You're pursuing those things. And then you're fighting the good fight of faith. It's a decision. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to sit back and get beat up. I'm going to fight. And it's also the decision to lay hold on eternal life, stirring up the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. But when you look at those four action words that we've been kind of looking at for the last few weeks, flee, pursue, fight, lay hold, the thing they all have in common is they all involve some kind of spiritual, intentional effort. You can't just lay and flee. You can't lay and pursue. You can't lay and fight. You can't lay and lay hold in a powerful way of eternal life. You can't just lay there. You can't be neutral. Amen. There's something about when you're going in this direction. Again, I'm kind of using flesh direction, spirit direction. If you're going in a certain direction and all of a sudden you know you're going in that direction, but you decide, I'm going in the other direction. The moment you turn, you're turning to no condemnation. A lot of times we think of repentance, right? Okay, I'm going in this direction. I got to repent from this stuff that's putting me in this direction. Well, it's true. You do. It's not like I'm repenting because I'm going to stop doing that bad stuff. It's different in the new covenant. You're repenting from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit. You're repenting from condemnation to no condemnation. Do you understand? You're repenting to no condemnation. And this is important this morning because a lot of times you can be going in this direction and think, well, it's over. I can't. It's too late. Throw in the towel. You know, even if I did repent, there's so much junk. There's so many things that I have to clean up. There's just so much water under the bridge, whatever you want to call it. How do I really turn around? You know, and all of a sudden, so you can talk yourself into continuing on in a direction. Not right, that's not healthy, that's not good. But the thing that we got to realize, it's not getting all that cleaned up that means no condemnation. It's just your decision to walk after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. Even though you got some stuff, all right, that may need to get healed and repaired and restored, even though there may be a journey out ahead, all right, of restoration. No condemnation is not the prize of the restoration. No condemnation is a gift of grace that makes restoration possible. So yeah, there's process here, but it's going to be a process of no condemnation all along the way. There's such an excitement, there's such a truth, there's such a joy in this. And this is what we're going to really be ministering along the lines of this morning. It's no condemnation. No condemnation. The biggest problem with condemnation, you know, apart that it obviously makes you feel bad and horrible, but condemnation has a bigger problem than that. It doesn't have power. It doesn't have power to set you free. It doesn't have power to restore you and make you whole. Condemnation can't do that. Man, and that's why preaching condemnation, just it doesn't work from a practical standpoint. It's ultimately the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes you free from the law of sin and death, not condemnation. And you can't substitute condemnation for the law of the Spirit of life. That's why we got to turn around and walk after the Spirit. That's what works. Just being practical. So this morning, we're going to look at no condemnation. So if there's no condemnation and you decide, okay, I'm going to make this turn, what is God going to do? All right? Because at the point you're making that turn, you're going in this direction, your soul is a mess. Your emotions, your feelings, could be a lot of other things. It takes faith to turn. It takes faith to just turn and say, okay, I'm going to trust God. God sees that turn. That turn is precious to the heart of God. God knows you don't feel a thing. God knows you're just believing that He is. And that you're going to, He's going to reward you for just seeking after Him, for walking after the Spirit. There is a trust that you have. Sometimes I just use the phrase private epic moments with God. They're private, and yet they're epic moments in your life that are between you and Him. That's where these happen. When you decide, okay, here we go. Ugh, I'm going back. I'm coming back. And to begin to realize, God, I know you don't leave me, you don't forsake me, but you're with me. And we're going to look at how God is with you. And wherever you're at, if you're like right here and you just turned around, or maybe you're still going, just thinking, I'm still playing hard to get with God. I'm still not sure. All right? There can be different, or you've turned around, or you're going back in this direction. But man, there's stuff that's trying to pull you and turn you around. Whatever the scenario is, what we're about to talk about this morning is so important, because what we're talking about this morning is truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. That truth will make you free. And I'm just believing, Father, by the power of your Spirit, that you're just going to impart this truth, Lord, that these truths, Lord, in your word today would just go deep into our heart. Father God, that they would just, in the face of every feeling that we might have, Lord, that the authority of these words would rise up, Father God, and guide us and direct us and lead us, Father, to a place of no condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, so what we're going to look at basically this morning is kind of a 1-2 punch against condemnation. And first of all, the way God deals with condemnation is He provides a cleansing confidence, okay? The scripture says, if we claim that we share life with Him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds Him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another. In the blood of Jesus, His Son continually cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, what are we saying? He starts out in verse 6, He says, if we claim that we share life with Him, if we claim that we're having fellowship, but I'm still walking in this direction, I'm lying, right? If I'm walking after the flesh and I'm not walking after the Spirit and I'm claiming fellowship with Him, I can't. This is where condemnation is. Condemnation is that broken fellowship. If I'm walking in this direction, I'm not walking in fellowship with God. I'm not. You know, it's when I decide to turn and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to deceive myself anymore, all right? I'm going to, and this is why this message is right next to the one we just got done with, as far as reconstructing faith. Faith is real. It's a real, spiritually tangible part of our lives that we actually engage in. And this is where, you know, I can't just keep walking in this direction, you know, with good theology about the grace and the love of God. I got to turn around and walk. I got to say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm walking. If I'm walking in things that are sin and that are wrong and that are bad, I got to turn around and say, this is wrong. This is bad. I confess it. I acknowledge it. Father, I receive cleansing and forgiveness from that unrighteousness. In other words, I'm not just playing games with my conscience. I'm coming clean. I'm saying, okay, Lord, here we go. And this is why it takes faith, because when you're going in a direction, you're going in a direction because of the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. And that's why it can be intimidating to even turn, because you know how easily they beset you, whatever that might be. But you're saying, no, I know that thing too. I know God knows this. This is why I love what we were ministering on this morning even too. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? So as you're struggling with maybe making that turn, remember that. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do in my life as far as breaking things off my life, breaking things off my mind and my heart? No, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according victory over that thing, whatever it is. And so there is a faith turn, all right? And so as you're going in this direction now, there is a continual cleansing from all sin. So as I'm going in this direction, does that mean I'm perfect? Does that mean I'm arrived? Does that mean that no, but I'm going in the direction of fellowship with God. And I know there's a mess all around me. I'm just going in that direction. And there's a blood that continually cleanses as I'm going in that direction with God, as I'm walking in fellowship with God. This is so important to make that turn right here. To make this turn. You can make this turn by faith. And it doesn't mean you got to be perfect in the natural. It just means you're going by faith in the direction of God. And there's just something about it that the Holy Spirit takes you by the hand here. And it is a step by step, day by day, where things come a little bit more into focus, but you just got to keep walking in that direction. The scripture says the path of the righteous, it shines brighter and brighter and brighter unto the noonday. Amen. That there's a process of going from glory to glory to glory, but you got to start somewhere. And just know that whatever that path is, whatever that path of restoration and different things and healing and different things, that one thing that this place along the path and this place along the path and this place along the path all have in common, there's no condemnation here, here, or here. There's cleansing. In other words, I come clean on some stuff, because here's the reality. You're coming clean on what you have conscious awareness of, things that you just know, okay. It's not, this is, don't confuse this with a big internal spiritual witch hunt trying to figure out everything that's wrong with you. Usually there's something, all right? Start with whatever that thing is, or that known thing is, and just get it clear and get it out of your heart. And the Holy Spirit will show you as you go if there's other things that need to be, you know, dealt with or confronted or stuff like that. Because sometimes you're blind here. And you don't even see things that you could be doing wrong or saying wrong. And God knows that. And yet you can still walk in a quality of fellowship with him. And you'll come on over here and you can get free and go, wow, okay, Lord, all right, I receive, and I'm going to change that. I'm going to make that just. I've been doing it all along here, and yet I was rejoicing in God. Even though I was still in my heart, you know, even though I was still not doing everything just right, but in my heart, I was just going in the direction of God. That's all I can do. To get out ahead of ourselves is what I'm saying. We can just be in the moment right now and say, God, I know I'm a mess. I know I got a lot of stuff going on here as far as things that I'm going to get cleaned up. I get that, all right? But right now, I'm going to receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. Yes, I got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Yes, I'm going to be putting some things under. But right now, I have grace, and right now, I have no condemnation. This is how the scripture says it. It says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. When our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience, and he knows everything there is to know about us. Oh, I love this passage of scripture. So when I'm taking that faith turn, and I'm believing that when my heart is condemning me, there's a place I can go, God is greater than my heart. He's greater than my guilty feelings. How many times have we allowed feelings to keep us going in that direction?
Come on.
And all we have to do is just take a step of faith. Yes. I know I feel that way, but God is greater than the way I feel.
Yes.
That's profound. Yes. That's faith. You know, if our heart condemns us and God condemns us, we're just done, that's all. You know, if God just wanted to condemn us, all he would have had to do is nothing.
Come on.
When we see this, it should trigger a little bell. Love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We got to let our feelings, we got to let the guilt and the shame get interrupted by the grace of God. He's greater than our feelings. He's greater than our conscience. And it's hard, you know, and that's where the jump off point has to be faith, because there's just, when you think of your heart, you think there's nothing greater than my heart. There is. God is greater than your heart. Your creator is greater than your heart. And he's a safe place. And you can go to him with your heart. And he's got something for you. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Praise God. There is only one thing that can cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And it's not reading 50 chapters of the Bible. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is nothing that you can do that can cleanse from sin other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got a throne of grace. So when I'm making this turn, I'm turning into the throne of grace. This turn is huge. If you just make this turn, man, the Holy Spirit's going to show you amazing things from here. But making this turn, it's huge. There's only one thing that can cleanse your conscience. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when we come over here and we do confess our sins, you'll see he does two things. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. That's kind of what we think of the accounting side of it. But he doesn't stop at just forgiving your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two things. There's the forgiveness of sins, but there's a cleansing of your conscience from those dead works to serve the living God. In other words, I'm taking that turn. I'm saying, I believe it. I receive, Father God, in the face of my yucky feelings. I'm glad that your grace is greater than our feelings. And that I can receive that forgiveness. I can receive that grace and not let my feelings get in the way, not let my feelings lie to me, but let faith turn me around. Now, this is why I want to kind of bring this out too, because it's a decision that we are going to have to be intentional about. This is the way the Apostle Paul said. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. If righteousness, if the cleansing of all unrighteousness and the restoration of righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So that is why I say, I don't view God's grace as something minor or peripheral. For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, the anointed one would have died for nothing. He goes on in Galatians 3:21 and puts it this way. Is the law against the promises of God? Certainly not. If there had been a law given which could have given life, righteousness would have been by the law. That's what Jesus confirmed in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there is any other way, if we can do this through a law modification, in other words, Old Testament law modified New Testament law, he would have done it that way. Jesus prayed three times before he went to the cross, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup of suffering pass from me. There was no law modification. There was no behavior modification. The Father didn't say, yes, Jesus, just tell him to do this, this, and this. He didn't. Heaven was silent. Jesus had to go to the cross. Man, think about that. God the Son praying to God the Father, seeing if there's any other way to restore man's conscience apart from the blood of Christ. And they couldn't find a way to do it. You're not going to find a way to do it either. You're not going to come up with some sanctification consecration plan. that's going to put you back in fellowship with God. You're going to have to come the way you did the first time as a child, with humble, Abba, Father, I receive forgiveness. Lord, I receive it. Just thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the umpteenth time is. You know, I'm so glad the Lord told Peter, how many times do I forgive my brother? 70 times seven. That's his heart. It's not like I got to figure out, okay, you know, the Lord's killed like 800 fatted calves for me already. There's no way I can make this turn again. Yes, you can make that turn again. In fact, there's no other way. You can't set aside the grace of God here. You got to make that turn. Yeah, I know, but I'm ashamed, but I've made this turn so many times. Really? Yeah, really. You know, every time you're making this turn, whether you realize it or not, you're proving him o'er and o'er that he really is faithful, that he really does love you. I mean, praise God, he is that way. Imagine Peter when he denied him three times with cursing, and then the Lord looked at him, said, Peter went away and wept bitterly. And Jesus told Peter this was going to happen, but he said, but I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And that when you're restored, that you wouldn't lose faith, and then when you're restored, you're going to strengthen your brothers. You're right here and think, oh, Lord, but do you know he ever lives to make intercession for you? Right here, you can say, you know, he's prayed for me. I'm going to turn. I'm just saying the big number one punch of no condemnation is humbling yourself. Turn. Okay, I don't care how long. If you've been walking in the flesh for 60 years and you turn in a moment, you are now walking in the Spirit and there's no condemnation for you. Yeah, there might be some stuff that you're going to work through, but there's no condemnation for you. What is that? But. That's grace. Sorry. Our arrogant, religious, older brother. Not fair, not fair. That's grace. And it can't just be theology. It's got to be grace with our stuff. God just wants us to make that turn. Because there's something bigger than our stuff and this and living for God and being on fire for God. It's fellowshipping with him. Like being in fellowship with God, that's what that turn is number one about. When you're walking in fellowship with God, the blood of his son is cleansing you from all unrighteousness. Yeah, you're a work in progress, but he's keeping you in this place of fellowship. He's keeping you in this place of seeing what to do next and how to pray about that thing next. So there's a fellowship. That's what it's all about. You're repenting from condemnation to no condemnation. Man, thank God for it too. Because if there was more to it than that, we'd just keep walking in that direction off a cliff. And it does happen, but it doesn't have to happen. No, if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. We've got a place to turn. We can turn into a throne of grace. We don't set aside the grace of God. There is no other way. And then finally, as you're turning, there's a new creation identification, all right? These are kind of what I'm saying, 1-2 punch. These are realities, okay? Number one reality. You are born again and you serve a God who absolutely loves you and has a throne of grace. The price has been paid on this cross for everything we've ever done wrong. There is a place. We don't set aside. We go back to it and receive that forgiveness. But there's another reality. As we make that turn, the Holy Spirit begins to remind us of some things. And that's this fact. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Man. You know, this morning, just as we were in worship, There was a reality of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, who can do exceedingly abundantly, above all we could ask or think. And who are we to deny what he could do? But there's a certain acknowledgement of him in us. You can't see him with your eyes. You just by faith know he is there. You can stir up the Spirit of God. You can be filled with the Spirit of God and experience his presence in powerful ways, but you still can't see him with your eyes in the natural. You're by faith. It's a faith proposition, but he's there. Powerful. Here's the other powerful faith proposition. Not only is the Holy Spirit really on the inside of you, but you're really a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has really passed away, and you've become new in Christ. Who you are in your spirit is a child of God. You're born again. You're a new creation. Now, of course, you've got stuff going on in your head, in your mind. That's a process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where we're talking about, you know, as we're kind of turning around, we're walking in the Spirit. And as you're making progress, that's where you can begin to experience growth in your spiritual growth chart as you're going in this direction, which we want to do, and it's freedom and all that kind of cool, good stuff. But as you're going in this direction, you're doing it in a remembrance that, man, I am a new creation right now. This is who I am. All right? So you're considering who you are. I am a new creation. Couple things. That's true. I'm a new creation, regardless again of my feelings. My feelings can lie to me when I'm going in this direction and say, God doesn't care about you anymore. You've given up all your chances. You can't even turn. Feelings are a liar. And I'm going to go in the face of my feelings and say, no, I believe that there really is a throne of grace. I really believe that he is greater than my heart. I'm going by faith against my feelings in this. I don't feel like a new creation, but I am a new creation. Consider that you are who you are as a new creation, but consider who you are not. Look at this. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. As we begin to turn, we begin to walk in this direction. We know, again, weights and sins that so easily beset us, based on your history, your past, your tendencies, whatever it is that makes you want to do that again. There's something that's happening as we're going in this direction. We're realizing something, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus on the inside. I'm already new. In other words, who you really are on the inside, your spirit, you are a spirit being. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of pneuma is pneuma, spirit. Who you are on the very inside is a spirit being. You're a child of God. You are created. And let's take a look at a little bit more about what the Bible says about that new man. I delight in the law. I'm going to go ahead. Put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, what's going on here? You're a new creation in your spirit already. What's going on is your mind is catching up with what God has already done in your spirit. You're being transformed. You're beginning to realize who you already are in Christ. You know, the new creation in Christ has no problem with addiction, bitterness, hatred. The new creation in Christ Jesus is created in righteousness and true holiness. Who you are, and you're born of the Spirit of God. The old previous moral condition passed away. In other words, it's not just I'm an old sinner trying to live for God. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. No, I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away. Yeah, there's going to be tests. There's going to be trials, temptations, things that we have to deal with. But what are we doing? We're putting on the new man. We're remembering. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're calling out the fact that, man, I am a new creation. And this is where the battle actually happens right here, where Paul says, and we alluded to this before, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. In other words, just listen to the language of Scripture here. I mean, there's a certain respect the Scripture is giving you as a believer, if you can hear it this morning. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's a separation between who you are in Christ and what your sinful nature is urging you to do. And this is where there is a freedom in Christ and that we experience that freedom. In other words, the idea that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you know, the idea of it can be kind of, oh, cool, that's really amazing. You know, it can emotionally inspire you for a few minutes. But when you begin to take your stuff, your situation, your addiction, the bitternesses and the hurts and the pains and all that kind of stuff, and you say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Praise God. The old has passed away. Lord, what am I doing? I am putting on that new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is bitterness and hatred, put on, as therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. In other words, it's not just that be a certain way. Realize that you are created in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. It's your identity. There is a fight. There's a battle for your identity that's going on here. There's a war for your identity. And what God wants us to do as we make that turn, as we make that pivot, to begin to walk in our new identity in Christ and realize, man, that old man, those old tendencies, they died. Let me put it this way. There would be no victory in walking in the Spirit if you weren't really a new creation in Christ Jesus. In fact, you wouldn't even experience anything. There'd be nothing there. In other words, if in your spirit you were still really a sinner, and you got free from it in your head, but that's still who you are, you wouldn't be free. There'd be no satisfaction here. In fact, when you do sin and when you do miss it, what is it that condemns you? Is it God that condemns you? No, it's your heart that condemns you. The new creation isn't satisfied. Do you know there are things that before you got saved, you wouldn't be condemned? After you got saved, you experience things because it's not who you are. When you're walking after the Spirit, it matters, it means something because you are a new creation. In fact, the fellowship you experience with God is proof that you're a new creation. What good would it do for the Word of God to divide your soul and your spirit if your spirit's still dead anyway? There'd be no contrast. The reason why it's powerful, the reason why the Word is real, the reason why spiritual things are real is because you really are new. Man, this is a place where we're going. This is a place that we have to begin to walk up because we're talking about no condemnation. There is something about when you begin to know yourself after the Spirit. It's like, praise God. Lord, this is who you've made me to be. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I not only have the power to walk in the Spirit, but this is who I am. God wants us to identify with who he has made us on the inside. He wants us to see ourselves as that beautiful, pure, spotless, created in righteousness and true holiness, child of God where the old previous moral spiritual condition has passed away. He doesn't just want us to see that the Holy Spirit lives in us by faith. He wants us to see that we're new by faith, that we are a new creation by faith. When you begin to believe that, it will begin to change the way you act. It'll begin to change the way you think. Because that's what sin is. It's an attack on your identity. The reason why, you know, you have a problem with that is because that's who you are. It's not who you are. But you'll notice that there is a process to this too. It's not just the fact that I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, but look at that last passage of scripture there. It says, let it be the same way. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure. That's fellowship with God. In union with Jesus, the anointed one. Continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive. Is that delusional? If you weren't a new creation in Christ Jesus, that would be delusional. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's not delusional. It's real. It's true. Yes. There is an awakening, a true awakening unto righteousness of who you are in Christ that causes you to sin not. There is a true spiritual awakening that you experience on a personal level. I'm a new creation. And when you say that out loud, listen to what the Holy Spirit does. Listen to your own heart. Listen to peace. When you say that out loud, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And I say that in the face of the stuff in my life. No, I'm a new creation, Lord. I believe it. I receive it. I walk in it. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's who I am. That's who I am. There's two things you're believing that are powerful to no condemnation. You're believing in the grace of God that forgives and cleanses. We don't set aside the grace of God. There is a cleansing confidence that only comes through the blood of Jesus. There's no plan B. Jesus and the Father confirmed that in Gethsemane. We can't come up with one either. It's grace. It's what Jesus did for us. Righteousness is a gift. It's not a point on a spiritual maturity growth chart. It's a gift that is given to us. The Apostle Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness that's my own from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the way we want to be found too. When you turn and you begin to live from that place, then it's not a religious perfectionism. It's just a place of religion. It's a place of freedom and grace. I'm living from a gift of righteousness. Oh, man. And you're walking in fellowship with him. I just want to say this. When you're walking in fellowship with him and you know you're walking in fellowship with him, you can trust the Holy Spirit to keep track of a bunch of stuff. Yeah. You don't have to up here anymore. Lord, I'm just delighting myself in you. If there's something that come up, I'm trusting you, Lord. Show me. I'm not going to obsess over every possibility. I'm just acknowledging you. And that's the beauty of fellowship. And then when you walk in fellowship and then you walk back in the flesh again, it's like, I want fellowship again. I want fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. It's not about religious right and wrong. Fellowship. Walking in the light as he's in the light. Because he's got my back and he cleanses me from all unrighteousness, from all sin when I'm just walking after him. And there's a new creation identification. As you begin to take you by the hand, okay, you're walking. And this is what I'm saying too, is you're continuing to go down this, you're going to get challenged. Say, okay, you've believed that you are a new creation for this and this, but now you've got to believe you're a new creation for this, this, and this too. What are you doing? You're going to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're being conformed into his image. You've already been born again as a child of God. But there's a transforming by the renewing of your mind. And again, we're trusting the second sermon of the Holy Spirit to be doing a lot of work this morning. I'm just trusting that as we're just even talking about some of this stuff, that you're realizing that, you know, there are things and problems and issues that I'm a new creation. The new creation has no problem with this. Lord, I'm seeing myself that way. And that's the amazing thing. You can think, this is going to take 4 weeks to get freedom and deliverance. And in a moment, you can just see through it as a new creation. And just go on down the road. Not even dramatic. Revelation. He'll just show you some stuff. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed, get a spirit of wisdom and revelation, who you are. see it, know it. There's no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. And you do walk after the Spirit. And there's a place of fellowship and freedom in that place. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for your message of no condemnation. Father, I pray that you will just, by the power of your Spirit and the power of your word, that you will just cause these words of grace and forgiveness and mercy, new creation, Father, to penetrate deep into our hearts, to arrest us emotionally, to where we don't let feelings of shame and feelings of guilt, feelings of condemnation order our steps anymore. But we recognize and don't set aside the grace of God. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I purpose in my heart, I'm not going to set aside your grace. I cannot accomplish what only your grace can do. I declare right now, I turn toward you. I walk in the direction of your Spirit as I'm simply walking in the direction. There's no condemnation in this direction. There is peace. There is guidance. There's a throne of grace. There's mercy that triumphs over my judgment. Thank you, Lord. You love me this way. And as I walk, I begin to see what you did in me. I'm born again. I didn't join a religion. I got changed. I'm a new creation. Give me eyes to see. That old condition passed away. Who I really am is created in righteousness and true holiness. The things that truly satisfy me are the things of your Spirit, the joy of the Lord, the Word of God, because I am born again. I am your child. Help me, Lord, to continue to walk into the fullness of who you've created me to be, with no condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. These are spiritual truths. You know, it's amazing how we'll live in a world that will play delusional games on a lot of different levels. We've got truth. We've got reality. We didn't see Jesus die on the cross and raise again, but we believe it. We believe our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and none of us have seen that book, but we believe it. The Holy Spirit lives in us. There is a throne of grace. You are a new creation. Same decisions that cause us to grow up, to put on the new man. Why can I put him on? Because he is there. He is in me to be put on. So be encouraged this morning. I understand some of these heart decisions. I understand sometimes the spiritual math and the mental math that can kind of go into that turn sometimes, or even staying the course. But the one thing that's consistent is there's no condemnation in this direction. There's no condemnation in this direction. Always remember that. You can always turn back in this direction. He will receive you and love you with open arms. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that.